Once again, I thank each and everyone for joining the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sri Nimai Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam 5.8.29 onwards. Before handing the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give the brief introduction about Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Sri Nimai Prabhu is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji took initiation in 2007. He earned a MBBS at JJ Hospital in Mumbai and has worked at Leelavati Hospital in Mumbai. Sri Nimai Prabhuji joined the Radha Gopinath Brahmachari Ashram in 2008. He was the head chef at Radha Gopinath Kitchen for the past 8 years and has been doing college preaching. Currently, Prabhuji is serving as one of the editors of Back to Godhead magazine. He also conducts Srimad Bhagavatam study programs for the Mumbai congregation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Please accept the humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for your very valuable time and association to us. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Om Vishupada Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Shata Shri Srimad Divine Grace Shilabhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupada Paramhansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Shata Shri Srimad Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड से गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय। जय श्री मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की जय। जय श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय। जय श्री द्वारका जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा। All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. So I thank the devotees in New York City and all over America for giving me this seva, this service to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So I will chant the verse first, we will read the translation and we will read the purport and then we'll try to understand what Prabhupada is trying to say through his purport on this particular verse of the 5th canto, 8th chapter, verse number 29. Okay, so it is Honestly, it is difficult for me also to chant this verse, and difficult, I guess, for all of you to repeat. So I'll just go through the verse and then we'll read the translation. Aho kashtam brashtoham atmavatam anupathadyat vimukta samasta sangasya vivikta punyaranya sharanasyatmavata atmani sarvesham atmanam bhagavati vasudeve tad anushravana मनन संकीर्तना राध नानुस्मरणा वियोगे न शून्य सकल यामेन कालेन समावेशितम् समाहितम् कार्ष्णेन मनस्तत्तु पुनर्ममा बुध स्यारान मृगसुताम् अनु परिशुश्रवाह. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj began to lament, "What misfortune! I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real sons, wife and home to advance in spiritual life, and I took shelter in a solitary holy place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized, and I engage constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer and have fallen far from my devotional practices." Purport. Due to his stringent execution of devotional service, Maharaj Bharat could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer and thus fell down and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. If we misuse our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharat Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. Only the human form is able to execute devotional service, but if we voluntarily give this up for sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. This punishment is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. By the grace of the Supreme Lord Krishna, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of Lord Vasudev is increased. By his intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. Devotional service is very completely described here. Tad anushravana manana sankirtanaradhana nusmaranabhiyogena. The constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantasya Dridha Vrataha. Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and that not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His activities. By His own actions and by the actions of His devotees, Krishna teaches us how to become cautious in devotional service. Through the medium of Bharat Maharaj, Krishna teaches us that we must be careful in the discharge of devotional service. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. As far as the members of ISKCON are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna consciousness movement, yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensues and we may be degraded to a lower life form. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked at least for the time being. The best course is to take advice of Srila Rupa Goswami of Virtha Kalatvam. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for rendering of devotional service and nothing else. This is the secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So one of the important pastimes in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the apparent fall down of Bharat Maharaj from the stage of Bhava Bhakti and the subsequent life in the body of a deer. And here Bharat Maharaj is speaking in the body of deer. He is lamenting that why he neglected or why he got attached to that deer who was pregnant, and he had to take again birth. He had to again take birth. He would have gone back home, back to Godhead, but he again had to take birth in the body of deer. And again in the third life, as Jadabharat, he perfects his life. So there is one small documentary. It is called as the Mumbai Varanasi Express. And in that documentary, there is a very, very interesting story of a very rich businessman and from Bombay. And he one day he gets his medical tests done, and he gets to know that he has cancer and he will be dying very soon, within few months. And he was very attached to his business. He was very attached to all the wealth. And but suddenly, as soon as he gets his death call through the medical report, he immediately develops indifference. He develops detachment from all the wealth, and he decides that I will go to Kashi, I'll go to Varanasi, and I will leave my body there, because Lord Shiva is said to come and chant Ram Nam in the ear of every person who gives up his body in Varanasi, and that's how he gets liberation or mukti. So this wealthy businessman, he just he dons a clothes of a simple person, and he's traveling by train towards Varanasi. On the journey, his train stops at Surat. Surat is one of the important stations in Gujarat. It's very famous for food, because Prabhupada here also mentions about overeating. So that is also connected with this story. And when the train halts at Surat, one passenger comes and he sits in front of this gentleman, and he tells him that you try this of Surat, you try that of Surat. Surat is famous for food. And he tells him in Gujarati, and because that person tells that I am going to Kashi, I'm on the way to Kashi. So that Gujarati passenger, he tells this gentleman that Surat na jaman or Kashi na maran. This is a very good famous Gujarati saying, where they say that you should enjoy in Surat whole life. It's very famous for good food and eat, drink and be merry. And then you should give your body in Kashi. So you have best of both the worlds. You have enjoyed your material life. At the same time, at the end of life, you leave your body in Kashi and you are liberated by the Ramna. So anyways, that gentleman was not, because he had become so indifferent. He was only thinking of death, because, you know, within few days he was going to die. So he was not interested in any of the foodstuffs and all other things which are available in Surat. And then he finally arrives in Kashi, and there he stays in one simple ashram, and he befriends one local rickshaw driver. And they become good friends, and slowly and steadily this person becomes very attached to this place Kashi, and he becomes spiritually awakened. He becomes more spiritual, and he is waiting for that particular day to give up his body, because he saw many people in front of his eyes one by one where he was staying. It was called as Mukti Bhavan. So one by one people, they left their bodies, and how they were very nicely, very royally cremated on the banks of Ganga River in Kashi. So he was just waiting for his turn, and suddenly one day he sees a newspaper, and in that newspaper there is one small column where it is written that so and so businessman's sons are fighting over his business empire and the property. And who are those two sons who are fighting? They are this particular gentleman's sons who had given up everything and had gone to Kashi. So as soon as he sees that news, he had forgotten everything. He had left everything. You know, he was a multi-millionaire. He gave up everything and had gone to Kashi. And he was so close to salvation from one point of view. He was very close. And as soon as he sees that newspaper clip, he immediately becomes restless. He's not able to sleep. He's not able to focus on anything. Earlier, he used to do whatever. He used to go for the aarti of Kashi Vishwanath, and he used to read the holy scriptures, and he used to sit there in kirtan and sit on the Ganga Ghat for hours and hours and meditate. So all that completely he forgot, and the only one thought which kept on ringing in his head was, my sons are ruining my business. My sons are fighting over my property. And he decides that I should go back to Bombay. So the rickshaw driver tells him that, oh, Babuji, means in India, businessmen or wealthy people are addressed as Babuji. So he says, you left everything and you came here to give up your body and go back to, you know, a higher realm, to attain salvation. Why are you going back to Bombay? You have left it. So he said, he tells the rickshawala, you don't know how much I have worked hard. Whole life I have slogged to erect this empire, and just for a small mistake, you know, I'll just go, I'll sort out that mistake, and I'll come back, you know, the matter, the legal matter, and I'll divide everything equally amongst my two sons, and then I will come back. And definitely, so he tells, you have very less time left, you never know when you'll die because you are a cancer patient. But nevertheless, he does not listen to him, and he's on his way back to Mumbai. Again, on his way back, the train stops at Surat station. And when the train stops at Surat station, he remembers that particular Gujarati gentleman who had told him that, you know, there is one, he had told him that there is a very famous restaurant in Surat. It is called as Sasuma restaurant. And that was the name of the restaurant. And he says that, you know, at least once you should have one meal over here. At least once. You should enjoy the food at least once. So anyways, this gentleman was no more spiritual. There was no more attachment left. He was not at all indifferent to wealth. He was again coming back to his material life. So he thought, okay, anyways, the train has stopped there for quite some time. I'll go and try that food. And when he is crossing the road, you know, after coming out from the railway station, he's crossing the road. He is hit by a car which is coming in great speed. And he falls down on the road and his head cracks and he dies. You know, so and then the lesson which is given is, you are so close to salvation, and you are so close to mukti, and again material life kind of allured you, you know, or attracted you, and you fell prey to material wealth or anything of this material world. And what happens, you miss both. You missed your salvation, which was so close, and he also misses the material life. You know, he could not sort any of his the empire amongst his two sons, what he wanted to do, he could not do anything. So I had seen this documentary long time back, and as I was reading Bharat Maharaj pastime, I was reminded of this particular story, that Bharat Maharaj was such a great king, and he had left everything, and that's what he is lamenting now, that I left my wife, I left my sons, I left my children, I left my empire. And he was so wealthy, and he went all the way in Nepal, on the banks of this Gandaki river. And we had been to this place in our Nepal Yatra. We actually saw the place where Bharat Maharaj was living. There is this ashram called as Pulha Ashram, which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And there his sadhana was extremely strong. Still he was on the stage of Bhav. And if you read the verses before this particular verse, you see the austerities which Bharat Maharaj was performing. He was bathing three times daily. Now, bathing three times daily may not sound that difficult now in 21st century, because we have hot water and we can bathe two, three times a day. But there, Bharat Maharaj was bathing in the Gandaki river, and it is extremely cold because Gandaki comes from the snowy Himalayas. And he had matted locks. And when he used to sit for meditation, he was displaying symptoms of ecstasy. His entire body was showing symptoms of ecstasy. Tears used to flow from his eyes. Hair were standing on end. So he had reached the Bhava stage, which is the second last stage of Prema Bhakti. Before Prema Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti comes. And at that stage, one day when early morning he got up, and after completing his morning duties of urinating, evacuating and bathing, when he was sitting on the banks of Gandaki river and he was meditating, and he was chanting the particular mantra which he used to chant for pleasing the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And then he sees this pregnant deer, and then he, out of compassion, which is called as misplaced compassion, which is material compassion, trying to save the body of the deer. And then slowly, 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 I'm sure you must have heard this pastime from the previous speakers, but in a nutshell, he slowly, slowly becomes so attached to the deer. The problem is not so much attachment to the deer, but the problem happens, what is the result of attachment to the deer? The result of attachment to the deer is his attachment to sadhana slackens. He starts neglecting his spiritual duties, because while he is doing his yajna, his mantra, puja, the deer is coming and he is neglecting his sadhana. And as soon as he neglects his sadhana, and naturally he gives up his body while thinking of the deer, because the deer later leaves him and goes, and he spends rest of the time. We don't know how many years he lived after that, but all the rest of the time he constantly was meditating on deer. So someone who was meditating on the Supreme Lord by bathing three times daily on the banks of Ganga, by having matted locks, and had gone up to bhava stage, he falls down to attachment to a simple animal like deer, and he gives up his body meditating on the deer, and therefore he gets this deer body in the next life. So it's like, you know, he was so close. Like in races, you know, in this running race, you know, he was so close to the finish line. He was just close. He was just there. And just before he could, you know, finish the race, you know, he just sat down on the racing track, something like that. So that's unfortunately, this happened with Bharat Maharaj. And therefore, it is very much instructive. This particular pastime is extremely instructive for all the sadhakas. And when His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was speaking on this particular pastime, he has spoken many times. So he highlights this pastime, the lesson which he gives is the importance of association of devotees. Because Maharaj says in his humorous style that if there was any other devotee available in the Pula Ashram along with Bharat Maharaj, he would have told Bharat Maharaj that, my dear Prabhu, I think you are deviating little bit from the process of sadhana. You are neglecting your sadhana, you are getting too much attached to your pet, you know, because deer had become his pet. In fact, deer had become his life and soul. Deer was no more just a pet animal or, you know, someone who he just spent little time with. He became the goal of his life practically. So there was no other devotee to help Bharat Maharaj overcome his attachment to that deer. So that particular point Maharaj highlights in all the classes on Bharat Maharaj. So I just, we read the purport. And I have enumerated, I have highlighted certain points from the purport, and we'll discuss each point in great detail. So if you remember the verse, in verse, Bharat Maharaj says that the word is abuddhasya. Abuddhasya means a great fool. So Bharat Maharaj is, he is feeling very guilty, and he is blaming himself. And he's saying that I was such a great fool, although we should not think like that because he is a great devotee, but he is lamenting that I was such a great fool that because of sheer foolishness, because actually if you see, as I mentioned, he was so close to Prema Bhakti, you know, and if he would have continued, he would have developed symptoms of Prema and he would have gone back home, back to Godhead. But that did not happen. He went in the deer's body and then again one more birth, that is Jadabharat. So he says that I was such a great fool that I got attached to such a, you know, a simple object like a deer. And then in the purport, the first point which Prabhupada says is that if we misuse our position, whatever position we get in Krishna consciousness, whatever Madhyam Adhikari or Uttam Adhikari, Kanishtha Adhikari, these are the positions in Krishna consciousness. So if we misuse our position, and if we start thinking that now I am fully Krishna conscious and I can do whatever I like, then we will suffer like Bharat Maharaj. So many times devotees, basically it is to warn us that we should not be overconfident of our Krishna consciousness, and we should be always fearful of Maya. Like Prabhupada, this very famous pastime of Prabhupada, that one disciple asked him that, Prabhupada, what are you praying? And Prabhupada said, I'm praying to Krishna that please protect me from Maya. So even Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee, we all know very well, that even Prabhupada is praying that please protect me from Maya. And one of the most important concerns which Prabhupada had for all of his disciples was, my devotees, Prabhupada said, my disciples are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. And that particular point also Prabhupada writes, that one has to be extremely careful and one has to be extremely cautious to protect one's Krishna consciousness, to protect one's Bhakti Lata Beach. So, you all remember that Hare Krishna mantra, which was recorded by George Harrison Prabhu, and Yamuna Mataji had sung that Hare Krishna mantra. So a 3 and 3.5 minute clip, and it became a super hit. You know, it was on the charts, the Hare Krishna Mantra. It was number one song in West Germany. It was number one song in Czechoslovakia. And it was in the top 10 songs in entire Europe and even Japan. So that song became so famous, and naturally because the song means the Hare Krishna Mantra record. So because the mantra record became so famous, all the devotees, especially Yamuna Mataji, they started getting a lot of invitations in public concerts. So any concert or any event is happening, they would invite Hare Krishna devotees that you come, you chant this mantra, and then we'll have our other songs, you know, other whatever English songs, John Lennon, all those Beatles, all those other songs. And they would also get invitations from the nightclubs. So initially devotees thought that this is a very, because devotees always wanted to preach, and it was very difficult for devotees to approach new people. And here people are themselves inviting. So this was a very good opportunity. That's what devotees thought. And they went to each and every concert. They went to each and every program. They went to nightclubs. And one day when the devotees returned from one nightclub program, it was late at night, and Yamuna Mataji was also there. And she was not particularly happy because nightclubs have a very, very, very impure atmosphere. We all know very well, especially in the Western countries. So when Yamuna Mataji, she returned back, she asked Srila Prabhupada, she told Srila Prabhupada everything, that what was happening there, you know, alcohol and free sex and everything. And that is a place where we were also invited. So Prabhupada was very, very much concerned. And then Prabhupada said that these places are not good for devotees, especially Prabhupada said brahmacharis, because that time there were many brahmacharis staying in the temple. At the same time, even the grihasthas were staying in the temple. So Prabhupada made a general statement that these places are not good for devotees, especially for brahmacharis. And he also mentioned that you can definitely preach, you can go to concerts, but you have to be extremely careful. You have to use your discrimination. It's not that every program you are invited, you have to go. So Prabhupada was very much concerned, and he said that one has to be extremely careful. A sadhaka should not expose himself to material energy more than required. And material energy can come in any form. And we'll discuss that. What are the different forms in which material energy can attract a sadhaka, allure him and take him away from Krishna consciousness. Like in case of Bharat Maharaj, Maya or material energy came in the form of a very sweet deer. Because Bharat Maharaj was at Bhava stage. You know, and if you see, Bharat Maharaj's apparent fall down was only at the level of the mind. Bharat Maharaj did not break any one of the four regulative principles. So Bharat Maharaj's fall down happened at a very subtle level. His mind, which was absorbed in Krishna, it became absorbed in the deer. But for us, for sadhakas, the greatest challenge will be not to violate the four regulative principles at a gross level, which unfortunately happens. So for Bharat Maharaj, for a very advanced devotee, it was a subtle fall down. But for many devotees, in the history also we have seen, and even now, many devotees have this, they have serious difficulties in practicing the four regulative principles even after taking their initiation vow. So even for gross following of the regulative principles becomes extremely difficult, because material energy is extremely powerful. And then Prabhupada writes regarding why material energy is so powerful and how devotee can overcome it. So in the third canto, in one of the purports of 10 chapters, Prabhupada writes that anyone who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he will sometimes be disturbed because there will be awkward circumstances. And that we have seen in our own life as well as in the lives of all the devotees we are counseling and preaching and dealing with, that many times many awkward situations happens, many awkward circumstances come, due to which the devotee apparently becomes inactive in ISKCON, or his sadhana slackens, he goes away from the association of devotees, or he just does not want to come in the association of devotees. So many of these things happen because that is the nature of the material world. And Prabhupada says it is because there is a declaration of war. Who has declared the war? Devotees have declared a war. Prabhupada says there are two parties. The opposite party is the illusory energy of Maya. And here, our party is the party of devotees. So devotees have actually declared war on illusory energy. And it may so happen because Maya is extremely powerful. Because who is Maya? Maya is Mama Maya Duratya. Krishna tells in the Gita that this energy is my energy, Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna clearly that she is my energy. And she is extremely difficult to overcome. So only by my grace, only by Krishna's grace, can someone actually overcome Maya. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, in war, if the devotee is weak, and devotee is weak generally when devotee's sadhana is weak. So, of course, in case of Bharat Maharaj, there was no question of weak sadhana. In case of Bharat Maharaj, it was just material attraction, and he pursued that material object. And because of the attraction, his sadhana slackened. So in Bharat Maharaj's case, it is not that his sadhana was bad, therefore he got attracted to deer. No, his sadhana was extremely good. So therefore in Bharat Maharaj's case, the attraction to the material object led to weakening of sadhana. Whereas in most of the devotees' cases, at least I can speak about myself, when sadhana becomes weak, we fall prey to material sense gratification. And Prabhupada says that a weak devotee will become a victim of Maya. So therefore for us, you know, because in case of Bharat Maharaj, and there are many other similar pastimes which I will be describing, that devotees had very strong sadhana. But in Bharat Maharaj's case, as I mentioned in the beginning, there was no net, there was no safety net of association of devotees. So like in circus, you know, those girls and boys, I don't remember what exactly it is called. They just hang from those and they are able to do it so fearlessly because they are very sure and they know that there is a safety net beneath. Even if they fall, they will fall in the net. Nothing will happen to them. Similarly, association of devotees is compared to a safety net. So if there is a safety net, trapeze, yes, it's called as a trapeze. So while doing that trapeze act, they are extremely they are fearless. They don't, you know. So similarly, devotees, if they are in if a sadhaka is in association of devotees, he has a safety net by which he can be protected even if he is deviating due to any particular reason. So that unfortunately was not there with Bharat Maharaj. For us, weak sadhana could be the main reason, and of course there are many other reasons, but I would like to stress on this particular point, weak sadhana, which is one of the most important, I would say, concerns of many of the ISKCON preachers today about their devotees. Because Bharat Maharaj was distracted by a deer, and devotees today are distracted by smartphones. So a smartphone is that form of Maya which does not allow a devotee to chant his rounds properly. Like recently I saw one picture, a very humorous picture, where it was written that when Prabhupada said, you know, that the first finger should be outside the bead bag. So generally we see while chanting, the index finger is outside the bead bag. And many times we see devotees, they are scrolling, they are swiping their phone along with that first finger while chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that picture said, oh, Prabhupada must have never imagined that this is the way devotees will be using their index finger while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. If Prabhupada knew this, Prabhupada would have kept all the fingers inside the bead bag only. So Prabhupada would not have left any scope for devotees to access their smartphone or tablet or laptop or anything, any gadget, while they are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Like when Prabhupada was on a morning walk near Bhaktivedanta Manor, he was walking and there was one particular patch of grass which was yellow. Rest all grass was green. So Prabhupada asked his disciples that why this grass is yellow and all the other grass is green. So all the grass should be green. No, why this particular clump of grass is yellow? So the devotees were not able to understand. And then Prabhupada said, because the roots of this particular patch of grass are not firmly attached to the ground. This grass is not grounded, therefore it is yellow. And then Prabhupada said that similarly, when we are not firmly attached to Krishna, when we are not strongly grounded in our spiritual practices, our chanting of the 16 rounds, especially in the early morning, if you are not doing that, we will also become yellow and dry up like this particular patch of grass. So very, very instructive pastime about the importance of being strongly attached to our spiritual practices. And There are two similar pastimes which I will like to tell you. One is from Srimad Bhagavatam and one is from the lives of the saints of Vrindavan. So this pastime is there in the sixth canto. All of you know, very famous pastime. I'll chant the shloka and you all can guess. Ayam hi shruti sampanna shila vritta gunalayah dhrita vrato mridurdanta satyavan mantra vishuchihi. So these are the qualities of this particular devotee of the sixth canto. So please hear carefully, what are the qualities of this particular devotee? So the qualities are, number one, shruti sampanna. He has studied all the Vedic literatures. He is a scholar par excellence. Second, he is a reservoir of good character. That good character means he is following all the four regulative principles. Good conduct and good qualities. Good qualities is like humility, tolerance, forgiveness. He has all. Third, he is firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions. Whatever the scriptures tells, he does it. You know, he is not at all neglectful of any Vedic injunction. Fourth, he is very mild, he is very gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. His mind was under his control and his senses were under his control. He was a sense-controlled person. And finally, he was always truthful. And he knew how to chant the Vedic mantras and he was extremely pure. Shuchihi. Shuchihi means pure. So a pure Brahmana who is very expert in mantras, who is very expert in sacrifices, in Vedic injunctions, extremely good character, very strict about his sadhana and completely sense controlled, mind is under control. Still this devotee, he fell down. And who is this devotee? This devotee is Ajamil. So these are the qualities of Ajamil before he fell down. You know, he was such a pure sadhaka and a very advanced devotee. Why he fell down? Again, because he had exposure to something and he was not supposed to have exposure of. So he saw, we all know, he saw a very a lowly man embracing a prostitute and she was not properly dressed. In fact, both of them were not properly dressed and both of them were drunk. They were intoxicated. And as soon as he saw her, he got completely attached to her. He was infatuated by her. And when he came back, he forgot everything. And in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, he tried his best to remember the Shastric injunction. And what is the Shastric injunction? Because what was mentioned, he was firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions. And what is one of the Vedic injunctions? Ajamil was a grahastha. He was already married to a very pious lady. He was married to a Brahmani. Still, so Vedic injunction is one should not see at any other woman. Others, like Chanakya Pandit says, matravat paradarishu, that any lady other than one's own wife should be seen like a mother. So that is a Vedic injunction. But Ajamil was trying his best to remember this Vedic injunction and was trying his best not to look at that particular woman with a polluted mind. But he just could not make it this time. Till now, he was always successful, but this time he could not make it. And the force of Cupid, Prabhupada writes, the force of Kamadev was so strong that he fell down. He brought that lady in his house and he actually made her his own wife. So this is again another very, very important instructive pastime, that just like Bharat Maharaj, he had gone up to Bhava stage and he got distracted by a simple animal like a deer. In case of Ajamil, Ajamil was a young grahastha, and he also got distracted by seeing a seductive woman. He also got distracted. And there is one more pastime in the lives of Vaishnav saints, that there was one very pious Brahmana in South India, and he was extremely attached to a prostitute. Her name was Chintamani. And this is a story of Srila Bilwamangal Thakur. And we know that pastime, that he crosses on the night. The night his father dies. So instead of being there, giving funeral with the funeral of the father, he's so attached to Chintamani that he crosses the river by floating on a dead body, thinking that it's a log of wood. And he enters her cottage, you know, by using a rope. But it's not a rope, it's actually a snake. And then Chintamani is aghast. She is not impressed. Because Chintamani is his guru from previous life and she has specifically come to deliver Silhana. His name was Silhana. So she tells him that you have so much, you are so much attached to me, you are infatuated with me. If you had this much attachment to Krishna, you would have become a saint. And then she advises him in strong words. She actually rebukes him, she chastises him that you should go to Vrindavan and you should get attached to Krishna rather than getting attached to me. I am just a mere bag of flesh and bones. And those words of Chintamani, they really have that effect on Silhana, and he gets completely detached. And just like Bharat Maharaj leaves everything, Silhana also leaves everything. He completely forgets Chintamani, to whom he was so attached. He leaves everything, he forgets everything. And while he is on the way to Vrindavan, he is hosted in one village, he is hosted by a Brahmana couple. And in that village, in that particular Brahmana's house, when he sees his wife, when he sees that Brahmana's wife, again he gets attached or he gets attracted by that lady. But fortunately, by Krishna's mercy, he immediately starts repenting. He feels ashamed of himself that I left everything. I left Chintamani also, to whom I was so attached. But again, Maya or material energy is trying to attract me. So instead of doing something wrong, he asks that lady that you give me your hairpins. And she gives. And Silhana takes those hairpins and he pierces his eyes. He grouts his own eyes and he's blinded. He blinds himself permanently so that nowhere, no time in future, again such, he should not get attracted or deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. And he becomes completely blind and he comes to Vrindavan and he becomes a great saint. You know, in Vrindavan, after he is initiated, he gets the name Leela Shuk because he described the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, Leela. Shuka is one who takes pleasure. So he took extreme pleasure in describing the Leela of Krishna, and the composition which he, the book which he wrote is called as Krishna Karanamrit. And that is the same book which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finds during his travels in South India. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets two books. One is Brahma Samhita, which he gets in Adikesho Perumal temple. It is in Kerala. And the second book which he gets near Satara in Maharashtra, that book is Krishna Karanamrit. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used to love the poetry written by Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur because he became such a great saint in future. So in all the three devotees' lives, if you see, Bharat Maharaj, Ajamil and Bilwa Mangal Thakur, one thing is common, that all three of them were alone when they were exposed to the sense object. Alone in the sense, they were not having any devotee association. When Bharat Maharaj saw the deer, he did not have any other god brother to stop him from, you know, fondling the deer and taking care of the deer and feeding him and bathing him. There was no one to stop him. Same with Ajamil. When Ajamil saw that lady, that prostitute in the forest, he was alone and there was no one to control him. And later he just brings her home and he falls down. Same with Bilwa Mangal Thakur. When Bilwa Mangal Thakur came to this Brahmana's house, he was about to, of course, he does not fall down, but he was again tempted and then he blinds himself. So in all the three instances, you see, there was no devotee association or god brother or god sister or guru or a new devotee, new bhakta. There was no association of anyone. And that was one of the that is one of the most important lessons from this pastime, that association of devotees is the safety net which actually protects us from any deviation or any getting carried away by Maya, getting allured by Maya. And all three of them had extremely good sadhana. Ajamil, we heard the description of Ajamil. He used to follow all the Vedic injunctions, extremely pure, complete mind and sense control. Bharat Maharaj, he was on bhava stage. Every day he was meditating. His sadhana was so good that he had tears in his eyes. So we don't know when that day will come in our life when we will chant and tears will come in our eyes. Definitely tears come because seeing the 16 rounds, you know, counter that when we'll have finished these 16 rounds. So those tears come, the tears of ecstasy never come. And even Bilwa Mangal Thakur was, he had completely given up everything, all material attachments, and he was on the way to Vrindavan, you know, and he, despite that good sadhana, all three of them got temporarily deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness. Now, we see in Srila Prabhupada's life, when Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that one has to be extremely careful and cautious of getting deviated from Krishna consciousness. So when Prabhupada was in London, Prabhupada, before acquiring the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and even before acquiring the Bury Place Temple, there was no property in London when Prabhupada went initially. So with the help of John Lennon, because John Lennon was very much impressed, he was one of the Beatles, and John Lennon had a very big property in the outskirts of London. It's called as Tittenhurst. The place is called as Tittenhurst. And there was a manor which belonged to John Lennon. And he hosted Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's disciples also. Of course, he had he expected some favor from Prabhupada's disciples, and they were doing some work in his manor every day. And in return, he hosted all of them. So when Prabhupada was staying in that John Lennon's manor, Prabhupada would sometimes meet John Lennon, and he had a girlfriend. Her name was Yoko Ono. She was a Japanese girl. And they were staying in that manor, and the other side of the manor, Prabhupada and his disciples used to stay. So one day Prabhupada went to meet John Lennon and Yoko Ono. They invited Prabhupada for Kirtan and something. And Prabhupada spent time with them, and because naturally they were such good hosts. And while leaving, and Prabhupada stayed there for quite some time. I exactly don't remember how many months, but it was a good amount of time that Prabhupada had lived in that particular manner. So and Prabhupada, before he was leaving John and Yoko's apartments, to come to his place, Prabhupada observed that on the walls there were many pictures and photo frames, and they were filled with nude images, which is very common in Western countries and even in India, in youngsters. So Prabhupada, as soon as he saw all those nude pictures, Prabhupada became extremely grave. He came back to his apartment and he immediately told Mukunda Maharaj. That time Mukunda Maharaj was a brahmachari, Mukunda Das. Oh, sorry, he was a grahastha, Mukunda Prabhu. And Prabhupada told him that we should leave this place immediately. Of course, we know Prabhupada is a pure devotee. He is not, but Prabhupada was very much concerned about his followers. So Prabhupada said that we should immediately leave this place. So that time Mukunda Prabhu, he informs Prabhupada that our Bury Place temple is not yet ready. Because Bury Place is in London. So that temple construction was going on. Prabhupada said, I don't care. You can rent an apartment near the Bury Place temple. We will stay at a rented place, but we will not stay in this lavish property because this is not fit for devotees. And although that place was very pleasant, yeah, it was countryside. It was very nice. Prabhupada actually loved it. But Prabhupada saw that it is extremely dangerous for his followers. And Prabhupada, that point which Prabhupada says that one has to be extremely careful and one has to be extremely cautious. If you see that Prabhupada has been, Prabhupada was so cautious. In one sense, they were not living in their apartment, they were staying separately, but still, it is better to be extra careful. So, that's what Prabhupada, he displayed the importance of being extremely careful and cautious by his own personal example. And one time when Prabhupada, he flew from Moscow to Paris, and Prabhupada was at the Paris airport. And Prabhupada had a long journey, Moscow to Paris, and he was very tired. And as soon as he came at the Paris airport, there were a lot of reporters. Because one thing which was very common in Prabhupada pastimes is that whichever airport, whichever city Prabhupada visited, always reporters used to come and surround him. And because Prabhupada had become popular, Hare Krishnas had become extremely popular because there were many television interviews, especially in Europe and America. And those television interviews had become very popular, and the Hare Krishna record had also become popular. And there were a lot of newspaper covering, and there's so much coverage because no one had seen an Indian Swami like this before. So Prabhupada had given a press conference, and Prabhupada was very tired, and they were waiting for the car which was supposed to come. One devotee was getting a car for to take Prabhupada to the temple, Paris temple. And Prabhupada was waiting, and one devotee asked Prabhupada, would you like to sit? Prabhupada said, yes. So that devotee pulled out a chair from a nearby cafe. And Prabhupada asked that devotee, what is this place? So the devotee said, Prabhupada, this is just a cafe, you know, just like there is any other cafe on the airport. So this is just a simple cafe. So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada asked, do they smoke and drink here? So the devotee said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, they smoke and they offer alcoholic beverages also here. So then Prabhupada said, no, then I cannot sit on this chair. So Prabhupada tolerated standing also. He was extremely tired. He was so old at that time. Prabhupada was more than 70 years old. So Prabhupada was so tired by the plane journey, and he was also tired by the press conference, by the reporters. But still, he did not sit on that chair because that place you know, he was serving alcohol. So Prabhupada was so careful and so cautious that even at that stage, Prabhupada is a pure devotee, and we know Prabhupada said that I am never affected by Maya. Prabhupada had said this, but still he was so cautious because he was trying to, by his own example, he was trying to teach his disciples that one should not be negligent. One should not be very, very careless when it comes to dealing with material energy. And dealing with material energy means material energy in any form. Material energy is not just you know, opposite sex. Material energy could be any form, whether it is nightclubs, whether it is this chair of an alcoholic bar, whether it is money, whether it is wealth, whether it is a nice, like Prabhupada was taken by one of his disciples to Mexico for, you know, relaxation, because Prabhupada's health was not good. And Prabhupada stayed there for a few days, and Prabhupada said, please take me back to America, because although this place is so nice, so beautiful, you know, weather is so good, but I am healthy only when I preach. I cannot be happy. I cannot be happy and healthy just by relaxing, you know. So Prabhupada, by his own example, he taught his disciples that one has to be extremely careful when one is dealing with material energy. So there is this famous verse from Katha Upanishad, which Prabhupada used to quote many times. So this verse is, Shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. That the path of self-realization, it is like a sharp razor's edge. Shurasya dhara, it is extremely sharp, and one has to walk on that razor's edge. If one is careful, one will go through it and become self-realized. But if one is careless, even little bit, he will cut, he'll cut himself and he will bleed. So this verse Prabhupada used to quote many times, that one has to be extremely careful, one has to be extremely cautious, and one has to be make sure that he is not interacting with material energy more than required for preaching or for one's daily maintenance. And he mentioned to Mukunda Maharaj, he wrote a letter to Mukunda Maharaj in 1967. Mukunda Maharaj was in New York City. So Prabhupada wrote a letter. In that, Prabhupada writes that one of the reasons, which he writes even in the purport, that devotees should not waste a single moment. If you remember the purport, Prabhupada writes that every moment should be used in Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada quotes Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. So there in this letter to Mukund Maharaj, Prabhupada writes that all the temple devotees, because in those days, all the devotees used to live in the temple only. The sannyasis, brahmacharis, grahasthas, and even children. So all the preaching programs were in the temple only. The brahmachari program, the bhakta pralhada programs, or the, you know, children's preaching, the congregation preaching, or the bhakti vriksha, and the sannyasis management, everyone used to live in the temple only. So Prabhupada told Mukund Maharaj that all the devotees should keep themselves engaged constantly 24 hours. Otherwise, Maya is very strong. She will attack. As soon as Maya finds a small gap, in that 24 hours, if there is any small gap, even of a moment, of course, this is a very, very tall order. It is very easy for me to speak, but just trying to highlight the importance of keeping ourselves engaged. And even if there is a small gap in our daily routine of Krishna consciousness, Maya can enter and she can attack. And therefore, as I mentioned, there are many solutions Prabhupada gives, and we will summarize them in the end. That one of the points is, as I mentioned, the sadhana has to be strict. Another important point is we should always be in the association of devotees. And Prabhupada writes in one of the letters to Yadunandan Maharaj. So in San Francisco in 1968, Prabhupada wrote this letter to Yadunandan Maharaj, because apparently it looks like Yadunandan Maharaj wanted to stay alone. So Prabhupada writes in this letter that the only solace for our existence is association of devotees. That is the only solace of our existence. Solitude is not very good for a neophyte. Because I don't have the letter which Yadunandan Maharaj had wrote to Prabhupada, but from Prabhupada's reply, I can decipher that Yadunandan Maharaj probably wanted to have some seclusion. He wanted some seclusion. So Prabhupada is telling that it's not very good for a neophyte. The best thing is not to seek solitude in the beginning, but to remain in the midst of pure devotees, so that even if there is attack of Maya, all the devotees will protect us. So this is a very, very important instruction by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada therefore discouraged any of his devotees, whether they wanted to stay in Radhakund alone, whether they wanted to stay in Vrindavan alone or in any place, Prabhupada always discouraged. There is a very famous statement by Prabhupada that someone thinks that he can stay alone and he can practice Krishna consciousness, then he is insane. Prabhupada says it, and this is very frequently quoted by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that one just cannot maintain his Krishna consciousness if he stays alone for a long period of time away from the association of devotees. And Prabhupada says that the devotees will protect if at all there is some deviation, and that will come. Some obstacle or some allurement or some enticement. It will come because there are many reasons for that. Prabhupada says that material energy is constantly attacking. Maya and Kali, they have only one mission in their life. Maya wants to take a devotee away from Krishna by giving him some sense object. It could be as simple as a smartphone, as I said. You know, as soon as smartphone starts, you know, the bead bag is kept, and then 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, like for children, PUBG is there. And for adults, it could be movies. For housewives, it could be daily soaps. You know, there are unlimited. When I say smartphone, it is media. I'm referring to media, whether it's television or whether it is online, or for children, it could be games or online, you know, TV serials. So many things are there. I don't even remember. So much is available on the media that one can get completely. So that is the only goal of Maya. How can I take these devotees, how can I take these ISKCON devotees away from Krishna? So basically she is just testing whether the devotees are determined to chant, whether the devotees are determined to hear, whether the devotees are determined to serve Krishna. She is testing our determination, and that's what she is doing. And Kali always tries to create quarrel and hypocrisy in the devotee society. Wherever there are fights, like Prabhupada said, neophyte means fight. You know, so we should understand that is the effect of Kali. When there are groups, devotees don't like to talk with each other, there are arguments, there are fights, there is backbiting and so many other things. That is the effect of Kali, like unfortunately, which happened in the Gaudiya Math. So there are many, we can go on and on with this topic, because this is a very, very grave topic, as I mentioned. So in summary, like avyartha kalatvam, this particular point which Prabhupada mentioned, Prabhupada's schedule, Yamuna Mataji gives Prabhupada's schedule when Prabhupada was in London. So just by seeing the schedule of Prabhupada, we will be inspired and impressed that Prabhupada used to get up at 1 a.m. and he used to chant few rounds, and then he used to start his translations. And mostly he would translate Srimad Bhagavatam around 3:30, because Prabhupada that time the London DTs were not installed. Prabhupada had small DTs. So at 3:30 a.m., either Yamuna Mataji or Purushottam Prabhu used to do aartis to DTs of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada used to attend that aarti at 3:30. And then 4:30, Prabhupada used to attend aarti in the temple when the temple came into existence. So Prabhupada used to attend the temple Mangal aarti. He used to give Srimad Bhagavatam class or hear Srimad Bhagavatam class if some other devotee is giving. He would do kirtan. And at 6:30 a.m., Prabhupada used to go for a morning walk for about 1 hour. And in morning walk, he used to have his conversations with his devotees. After his return from the morning walk, he used to take Ayurvedic medicines, and he would take a light breakfast, either some fruit, some cereal or something. And around 9 a.m., Prabhupada would again start, Prabhupada would do kirtan. He would chant prayers of the six Goswamis or any of the Vaishnava songs alone in his room. Or sometimes he would call Yamuna Mataji and Purushottam Prabhu to play instruments while he is singing. And around 10 a.m., Prabhupada used to dictate letters to his disciples all over the world. He used to instruct devotees who used to come and ask questions to Prabhupada. And he used to meet the guests, VIP guests or anyone who used to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. Around 12 noon, Prabhupada used to take his massage, the daily oil massage. Generally, Harishwari Prabhu, he used to give a massage wherever he traveled with Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, after the massage, used to take his bath. And then he used to chant Gayatri Mantra. Around 1 p.m., Prabhupada used to take his lunch. After lunch, he used to chant Japa. And then he used to take some rest. Around 4:30 p.m., again Prabhupada, Yamuna Mataji would prepare some, you know, lemon drink or some refreshing drink. Prabhupada used to have that. And then he used to sit with all his disciples, and they would have informal talks, which are like Ishtagoshti. So what is happening in the temple, how many books were sold, you know, how much funds has come, you know, all that, daily reports and all that. And around 6:30 p.m., Prabhupada used to attend the evening aarti, the Sandhya aarti. He used to give the evening Bhagavad Gita class if he's in the temple, or he used to go for doing some program in the London city, or if some disciple or if some important guest has come in the evening, because evening the guest used to come, he used to meet all of them. And then after that, he used to have a light meal, and around 10:30, 11 p.m. till 10:30, 11 p.m., he used to continue his translation. And by 11 p.m., he used to retire for sleep. So this was the schedule in London, and by and large his schedule was fixed, you know, all around the world. This was his the schedule. He hardly slept 2 hours at night and, you know, few hours in the day, and practically whole day and night. There's one very famous video where the journalist is asking Prabhupada that, do you work? So, you know, it's in a sarcastic that you people don't work, you know, something like that. So she's asking, do you work? So Prabhupada said, I am working more than you. And Prabhupada tells her that, you cannot imagine, you people cannot work like me. And then Prabhupada tells her, you know, I am traveling in so many countries, so many continents, you know, I am giving initiation, I am erecting temples, I am publishing books, I am doing yagyas, deity installations. So Prabhupada just went on and on, and that all the disciples were impressed, you know, by avyartha kalatvam. Prabhupada was constantly busy, and Prabhupada would always keep his disciples busy in Krishna conscious activities. And that is the point which Prabhupada highlights, that not even a moment should be spent without Krishna consciousness, because if Maya gets one moment or 2 moments or a few minutes, she will enter in our life in any form. So finally, I just summarized from what I spoke today, what are the various reasons for going away from Krishna consciousness. So the main reason is distraction, and distraction comes in various form. Number one, exposure to Maya. Like Bilomangal Thakur was exposed, or Bharat Maharaj was exposed, and Ajamil was exposed to the prostitute. So similarly, nowadays all devotees are bombarded, you know, by social media and all types of media. So that is one very important reason, distraction, for going away from Krishna consciousness. Second is no association of devotees if they are alone. Third is exposure to other philosophies, because there are very attractive speakers on the internet. If you just go on YouTube, and there are so many new age gurus who are speaking on Hinduism, Vedic religion and Ayurveda, and they are speaking so nicely with flowery language, you know. So devotees also feel like, oh, I should hear to this guru, I should hear to that guru. They are not devotees of Krishna. And these new age gurus, and Prabhupada said, Mayavad is extremely powerful. And I have personally seen some of the devotees who have practically, even after initiation, they have left chanting Hare Krishna, and they are fully into that new age guru who just speaks nice things and does some dhyan and some yoga pranayam, and that's it, you know. And there is absolutely no question of service to Lord Krishna. So it's very, very dangerous, exposure to other philosophies and other new age modern Hindu gurus. Fourth is conditionings and old habits. So this was the main struggle of many Prabhupada disciples, you know, like they used to go back to their old habits, because it was a very strong conditioning. They were breaking all the four regulative principles before, and after coming to Krishna consciousness, this was their greatest challenge. And this could be also our greatest challenge, that our old habits and old conditionings, they keep propping up. You know, we are chanting, and what we have done 20 years ago, we remember, and we are completely, gone away from our attention in chanting. And then, of course, Nam Aparad and Vaishnava Aparad, offending Vaishnavas and offending Nam, and that takes us away from Krishna consciousness. Slackened sadhana. Slackened sadhana is when sadhana is slackened by many things. You know, it could be, as I mentioned, social media or anything. I mean, sadhana, or keeping around, spending till late at night. And there could be hundreds of reasons for weak sadhana. And seventh is, even if association of devotees is available, not confiding in devotees, not taking the help, you know, hiding that I'm not chanting my rounds, or I'm breaking the regulative principles, hiding that from our well-wishers. So these were some of the reasons I could come up with of going away from Krishna consciousness, getting distracted from our Krishna conscious practices. Sorry, please forgive me if I've spoken something beyond my level of practice and also level of my realization. So please forgive me for that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I don't know if we have time, but I have all the time for you. We can have question answers if Radharani Devi Mataji or...
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such an enlightening class.
Thank you.
We are so grateful for you. You already summarized everything. So so the class was highlight, and the summarization was so brief, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So how we should not attract to the material maya and everything you have given so nice, and the pastimes of Prabhupada, each and everything you have given so nicely, Prabhuji, the pastimes of Yamuna Mataji's nighttime program, and John Lennon pastime, and the airport pastime, and Yadunandan past Prabhuji pastime. Those all are very nice, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And the qualities of devotees, and the three, like Bharat Maharaj, Ajamil, and Bilva Mangala Thakur, they were not having a devotee association, but they were like great sadhanas, and every point was so detailed and very nicely explained, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So as you said, you have some
Mataji
time.
Mataji has raised her hand.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Yeah, Vinita Mataji, you can please go ahead with your
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam, Mataji.
Beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. You have explained everything very clearly and detailed. My question is, there are some social gatherings for us. How, like, you know, devotee gatherings, even if it is like sometimes the birthday parties and all, we are in safe side because it's a devotee gathering. But we have to, you know, sometimes we have to go outside of the devotee circle for any gathering. You know, they can see so much of material and so much of sense gratification going on. So how do we avoid, like, I was so shocked when you said that pastime about Prabhupada sitting on the chair where it is sold their alcohol. If you go to airport or anywhere, you see anywhere you are surrounded with those things. This in this America, it's so much. So how do we control, or how do we stop ourselves? How do we keep ourselves balanced? Can you please guide me, Prabhu?
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Very, very important and a very practical question that I don't know how much I'll be able to, because in the American context, but here whenever this question came up, because most of our congregation in Bombay also, they stay in the Bombay city, and Bombay city is not different than New York, you know. So Maharaj always said that, like Prabhupada, he always said that once I have finished my 16 rounds, now I can do anything in the world. In the sense that once, if his sadhana, the person's sadhana has to be extremely strong, especially when they are staying away from the temple. So once sadhana has to be extremely strong, and if that priority, on a priority basis, if sadhana is done very well in the morning, especially 16 rounds and hearing the daily Srimad Bhagavatam class, naturally, as you said, one cannot avoid, one cannot completely avoid such gatherings, because you have to live in the society, and you are living with your family, your relatives, friends, or in your company, or wherever you work, business affiliations, wherever. So naturally, devotees will have to attend such gatherings. But you know, this morning program, and once the devotee comes back, because we'll not be there for all the time, we'll come back from the gathering. So at night time, reading the Krishna book or chanting some extra rounds. So it is something like, you know, brainwash, whatever little bit association or little bit, as you mentioned, material association we get. So one has to be very, very careful that he has to balance it, as you asked, how to balance it with very rigid spiritual practices in the morning. And after one visits that particular place and comes back again, he has to engage in some spiritual activities like chanting or reading Krishna book, or hearing a class or something like that, to bring his mind back to Krishna. The whole point is the mind has to be fixed on Krishna. And in these gatherings, the mind naturally, because the place there, the vibrations are not Krishna conscious. The vibrations are either social conscious, or it is movie conscious, or it is some business conscious or money conscious. There are various levels of consciousness. So naturally that consciousness will affect our mind and our consciousness. So therefore, immediately as we come back from that place, we come back to our home or office or our temple or wherever we stay, we again engage in activities which help our mind in focusing on Krishna. So that's what I can suggest.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you so much. That is really, you know, very practical what you said. Is like we are giving our extra time to material, so then we have to give our extra time to spiritual also. So then balance it, like we are giving our enjoyment time, so let's give it for our time to Krishna also, so that way Krishna will forgive us. He will make sure that we don't forget it. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a practical
thank you
answer. Hare
thank
Krishna.
You Mataji.
Very grateful.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful answer. So I request any other devotees have any other question, you can please go ahead. Yeah, Deepika Keni Mataji, you can please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Okay, Prabhuji, I just don't want to ask a question, but I just want to glorify, because when you said that Prabhupada, of course, he's a pure devotee, Acharya, he wanted to set an example about Maya, yes. How Maya is so strong, and yes. We have to be so careful so that his followers, that is us, we should also be very vigilant. So I was just thinking, you know, that how the preachers, they are taking so much risk. You yes. know, to give Krishna consciousness to the whole world.
Yes.
And so that, I think we should not take this so cheaply, because the amount of risk they are taking while an impersonalist, even like when he rises to the point of liberation, with Correct. A slight agitation of mind, he's actually pulled down to the pool of material existence. And Correct. he's just doing for his self-elevation. Mm-hmm. And sadly, like, he does not have any chance then, as soon as he goes down to the pool of material existence, he does not have a chance, because he's not performed bhakti yoga, you know, unless and until a devotee intervenes in his life. Yes. And here we have preachers who are mingling with everybody and, you know, trying to get us out of the clutches of material energy. So just wanted to glorify and say thank you. I know I can never, ever repay. But from the innermost shrine of my heart, I would like to express my gratitude, and I'm eternally indebted to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for your gratitude. And for one point which Deepika Mataji brought out, that the preachers, they take risks. And that is true. At the same time, Prabhupada had warned all of his preachers, and that's what we have always been taught. Any devotee who is preaching, whether a Mataji is preaching, Prabhuji is preaching, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, any devotee who is preaching, he has to be extremely careful, because the preacher is the first target of Maya and Kali. Because once the preacher is gone, his whole group is gone. And that's how Maya succeeds. So a preacher is the first target, and therefore Prabhupada was extremely strict about, at least in the initial years, that the devotee should have a very strict morning program and the evening program with Bhagavad Gita class. Prabhupada used to have Bhagavatam class in the morning and evening Bhagavad Gita class. If the devotees are in the temple, if they're outside, they are speaking Bhagavad Gita. So that's a class, and before sleeping, Krishna book. So Prabhupada always stressed on these daily practices, especially for preachers and for every devotee. It's not just for temple devotees. It's for every particular follower of Srila Prabhupada, that he has to be very, very careful with while preaching. So very nice point you brought up. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Like, I always feel that service means taking risks, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful realization. So if any other devotees have any other question or realization, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Srinimai Prabhuji. Thank you so
much. Hare Krishna, Chifuni Mataji. Thank you so much.
Such a wonderful class. And I'm very grateful to you for all of the reminders about keeping our sadhana strong. And I really appreciate all of the how you you know, illustrated each of the distractions from our practice, because like you said, it's so easy to get caught up, and yes. It kind of sneaks up on you, you know, these little things, and the next thing you know, you're pulling away from your sadhana. So I really appreciate it, because I really and I really felt very strongly what you said about association. It is so important, and I know for myself, yes. Even if I'm having doubts or I have questions, just getting on this call in the morning, you know, whoever's giving class, they always say exactly what I need to hear to kind of, you know, calm my mind. So thank you so very much. I'm so grateful. And I can't wait to have your association again. Please come back and give class for us again.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Definitely. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Tiffany Mataji, for your beautiful realization. Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah, this Bharat Maharaj story has been very, very grave and, you know, very introspecting, like all the time, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something wrong? Is this attachment? Even within bhakti, I feel so often trapped. Like, is it bhakti or it is my attachment? I'm like always questioning, especially this time with Bharat Maharaj. And yeah, Prabhu, so you said that, you know, preachers are very first target for Maya.
They, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a very, very, I know it's truth, but it is very scary because what for most of us, in some way or the other, we are trying to preach. Once we get to know that Krishna conscious is the thing, we, anybody, and speaking for myself, if I see somebody, I tend to, you know, tend to preach some way or the other. Just bring Krishna into the topic and discuss. So that is, you know, that makes a preacher, when the moment I heard that, then do I not preach? Because then I'll be the first target. That is one thing that came to my mind. And the second thing is, like, will Krishna not be extra, if Mayadevi is extra strong on preacher, will Krishna not be extra merciful towards the preacher because that person is taking the risk for Krishna? I mean, it's for their purification. Of course, we are the one who came down here and to do all sort of enjoyment. Mm-hmm. But when once we realize that we have a relationship with Krishna and we want everybody to know about Krishna, will Krishna not be extra merciful towards that preacher?
Yes, very, very nice question. Very, very. So this Shyamanand Prabhu, I don't know, I'm sure you all must be knowing him. He's our temple president. So he gives this example that the ships are not meant to be at the dock. Ships are supposed to sail in the sea. But when the ship is sailing in the sea, there is every risk that there could be a storm and the ship can drown. But just because, like you mentioned, that if we start becoming fearful that if I preach more, whether I'll fall victim to Maya or whether Maya will be after me, and so I don't preach. No, definitely not that, because Krishna is always there. Because Krishna tells in the Gita that one who preaches my message is most dear to me. So a preacher and one person, a person can preach Krishna consciousness in any way. A person can preach Krishna conscious even by doing his simple service at his or her home also. So just by seeing that particular devotee, other devotees are inspired. So preaching doesn't necessarily mean that one has to give classes or one has to go out and speak to people. Definitely that is one form of preaching. But by one's example, by one's life, by one's character, by one's behavior, like Prabhupada said, my disciples will be perfect, ladies and gentlemen. Just by seeing my devotees, people will feel inspired to ask, you know, how come you are so happy and what is the secret of your satisfaction? And such devotees can also preach. So preaching is done by practically every devotee in ISKCON, from one point of view. Every devotee who is doing any form of seva, whether in their homes or whether in the temple or whether anywhere, any part of the world. So, but the preacher is most dear to Krishna, and definitely Krishna, he protects that devotee personally and also through the association of devotees. Help Krishna gives through the association of devotees. Like, by Krishna's mercy only we get Guru in our life, and by Guru's mercy we get Krishna. Similarly, in such risky situations, if the devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, Krishna definitely protects. We see in the first canto that when Brahmastra was released on Arjuna, Arjuna was not understanding what to do. Arjuna is also a pure devotee, and Arjuna was completely confused what to do. And this is after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, after the war is over. And Arjuna completely surrenders to Krishna, 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 Mahabaho. And Krishna tells him that this is because of Brahmastra, and Krishna protects Arjuna from Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. Again, when second time Brahmastra is released, Uttara again surrenders to Krishna, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. And again, Krishna protects Uttara's womb, that is Parikshit Maharaj. So even pure devotees like Arjuna, Uttara, and Draupadi is a pure devotee, but during Vastaharan, she recalled Krishna, she remembered Krishna, and Krishna only came to protect her. So even pure devotees, they demonstrate that Krishna will always protect, provided you take shelter of him. So therefore, that one important point which Prabhupada has mentioned, that a devotee should not misuse his position. He should not think that now I am a good devotee. Prabhupada writes that in the purport, that he should not think that now I am Krishna conscious and now I can do whatever I want. This is exactly what Prabhupada writes. This should not be there, because this even the pure devotees don't think. Like Prabhupada always was praying that, please, Krishna, please protect me from Maya. You know, Arjuna is praying to Krishna, Krishna, please protect me from this Brahmastra. I don't know from where this effulgence is coming. Uttara is praying, Krishna, please protect me from this Brahmastra. Draupadi is praying, Gajendra is praying, all the devotees are praying. So as long as that prayerful mood and dependence on Krishna is there, and with that mood, if we go for preaching and we pray to Krishna, if at all there is such a... we get caught up in apparently, some situation, awkward situation, like Prabhupada said, you know, material world is filled with awkward situations. Definitely Krishna will protect us. And there are testimonials of many devotees. I mean, we don't have the time, but I'm sure you all must have heard the stories of so many devotees who were about to give up Krishna consciousness. And suddenly something happened and they again came back to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Like one particular pastime, Malati Mataji writes that she was about to leave Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada told his godmother that, you know, this girl, she can give my life, she can give her life for me, and I can give my life for her. So as soon as she heard this, you know, she just cancelled the whole plan to go away from Prabhupada. And till date, she is one of the most active leaders of ISKCON society. So Krishna definitely in the form of guru or devotees, or he himself will definitely protect his preachers, as long as the mood of the preacher is that of dependence and helplessness on Krishna. Total dependence, and that has to be there. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That brings so much of hope. Yeah, I remember listening to Malati Mataji's that.
Yes.
Leela. Yeah, that is a very, very beautiful. Thank you for reminding it again. Thank you, Prabhuji. That gives a lot of, you know, hope and encouragement. Thank you, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah. Having said that, at the same time, we have our free will also. And if a devotee has decided to go away from Krishna, temporarily Krishna may allow, temporarily. And temporarily Krishna may also keep that devotee away from devotee association if he is a Vaishnava Aparadhi. So if he has done Vaishnava Aparadhi, then Krishna will himself keep that devotee away so that he does not commit more Vaishnava Aparadhi. So that is also care. That is also Krishna's care, that he'll make the devotee passive in his corner. He'll make him little, you know, stay away from devotees for some time. And after some suffering, which Prabhupada writes in the purport, that the suffering of the karmi and suffering of a devotee is different. Suffering of a devotee suffers and his yearning for Krishna increases. Just like the gopis, you know, Krishna went away from Vrindavan and their yearning for Krishna increased many, many folds. That's what Krishna does to all the sadhakas. You know, when they do some mistake or they go away from him, Krishna gives them suffering so that they again strongly desire to come back to him. You know, so that way also Krishna protects that. In some cases, he may actually keep you away from devotee association so that you don't offend, you know, if you had offended before. And he protects you from more Vaishnava aparadha. And after purification, after suffering, you again come back with a rectified consciousness, with a purified consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes,
thank you. I guess anyone else would like to share, because I'm sure there are many sincere and serious devotees on this. Practicing bhakti in New York City is definitely not easy. I can know.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Bol.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. So many examples and stories and pastimes of Srila Prabhupada and other devotees. It's really, really wonderful. You spoke from like Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's pastimes, and the story I like that the person was going to Kashi and in between.
Yeah, that is, I thank social media for that.
We get distracted, you know. Something happens in our life and our bhakti goes down, and again, it's kind of Maya, I think, and also Kali Yuga.
Yes.
Not allowing us to get to bhakti.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I like your class very much, Prabhuji, and I heard for the first time. We would like to invite you more often to giving classes. Thank you so much.
My fortune, and I thank all of you for your precious time and allowing me to do this seva for all the devotees. Thank you so much.
Yeah, our program is every day, so I would like to contact you.
Okay, sure, Mataji, definitely. As much as possible, I will try to serve all of you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.
I was just asking, would you like to go with any other realization or we can end the call here? we'll end the call here.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your very valuable time and association to us. We would like to pay our obeisances to you. Vancha Kalpata Rupyasya, Kupa Sindhu Kyayacha, Patitana Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Krantat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai, Sri Nimai Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
New York, North Carolina, Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Nandavarpanam Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Nandavarpanam. Thank you.